How has your relationship been, Ashley, as an athlete approaching goal setting the smart way?
I've never resonated with the smart way. I just did it because that's what I was taught. When it comes to soccer, every year, how many goals do you want to score? And I'm just like, ugh, I want to score as many goals as possible, but it feels like it's putting me in a box. If I'm only focusing on scoring goals, I play stiff. I just know I want to focus on playing my best, playing freely, working hard. And I know if I do that, these things will naturally fall in place and I will score goals. And I feel like I did a really good job of that throughout my college career. I also thought that if you don't want to do smart goals, you're kind of soft. You don't think you can achieve these things. No, I do think I can achieve these things, but I don't think I'm going to achieve them with this method. There's another way to do this. I'm not going to make smart goals. I'm going to have more of this open, holistic approach because I know if I'm in the right mindset, if I'm in the right physical state and I'm doing all the right things, I will then be able to achieve those goals or surpass those goals. Welcome to another episode of Ditto. I'm Ashley Hatch, professional soccer player in the NWSL and for the Washington Spirit. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Matt Moore. Matt.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
How are you?
We're good.
I'm great.
Yeah.
We are both great.
We are good.
Hey, by the way, I need to tell you something because we haven't gone over this yet. So at the time of this recording, it's been almost 2 weeks. No. Just barely a week since we saw you in Utah. Yes. When you played the Utah Royals, you guys killed them. And you just beat them 1-0.
Still got 3 points on the road. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is fantastic. And by the way, we need to upload that picture.
Yeah. That's a good photo.
Of me in the background. Yes. For those that can't see the video right now, there's a picture of me behind the goal. That's where me and my daughter were sitting. And we were the only Spirit fans. So we are amongst the enemies. And it was perfect time. So we got there a little late. I think it was like when did you score? What is like the 15th minute or 20th minute or something?
Maybe. I think maybe somewhere the 16th minute or something.
We got there in like the 10th minute and we sat down and it was like 12 minutes were going by 13. And then the ball started coming towards us. We're like, yes, here we go. Here's some action. And they scored like within 5 minutes of us being there. And so I stand up and I'm yelling. I'm the only Spirit fan. And
everybody, it's awesome.
I think internally were telling me to shut up.
Everyone around you was just like giving you that like scalding hate look.
Yeah. It was fantastic. And then of course, so I have a 7-year-old daughter, highly influenced by other women, especially professional women, whether it's swimmers or soccer players or ballerinas right now. And so, you know, us of course knowing each other, Ashley's now one of her heroes and now she knows Aubrey.
Yes.
Because we sat behind the goal and Aubrey came over to the goal and I told her all about Aubrey.
Oh, nice.
And so now she wants to be a soccer player.
Love it.
My 7-year-old.
You're welcome.
She wants to. Yeah, I know. And she was saying, I want to be professional just like Ashley and Aubrey so people can come to my game and take pictures of me.
Oh.
And then she goes, and then she turns to me and she goes, it was so funny. She turns and she goes, but Dad, if I play soccer or when I play soccer, I might get a red card.
Uh-oh.
And I go, okay.
Yeah, like, sounds
as
good.
As long as you're fighting for it, that's fine. Anyways, it was a fantastic
experience. Doesn't sound like she's timid or shy at all, which is great.
No, she's the last like 2 years, she's busted out of her social bubble, gone into her social bubble. She was so isolated and shy, but now she's...
Yeah.
Just loves being around everybody.
Oh, awesome.
Anyways, wonderful experience. I know this was a couple weeks ago. How was the match just a couple days ago? I know you guys tied.
Yeah, we tied against San Diego Wave. We had a packed Audi field, which was amazing. So I feel like that was huge.
How many fans roughly is that when you say packed?
20,000. I think we were...
Oh, cool.
18 or 19, maybe 19. So we were really close to getting it fully packed, which was awesome. That's so that was really fun. Yeah, it was a really cool environment. Yeah. It was a really good game, lots of back and forth. San Diego is a good team. They scored early on and we kind of were chipping away all the way to the end and finally got the equalizing goal. And it was great. I feel like our fans deserved that. So we all, of course, wish that we could have gotten a few more to get the W, but it was overall really good environment and good experience. And it was fun. Hopefully we can pack it the next game for sure.
Are you home again this next day?
No, we are leaving to Gotham, and then we're home again the next week.
Batman.
Yeah.
You're going to go play Batman.
Yes, we are. We're going to take him down.
Are they good?
Yeah.
Are they good this year?
Yeah. They're defending champs from last year, so.
Oh, that's right.
You got to take it to them. Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
Well, I guess speaking of things that we want to do in the future, goals. I feel like this is very fitting. You know, your daughter wanting to be a professional soccer player, going and playing the defending champs. Goals is what we're going to talk about today, which is exciting because most of the time people talk about goals in January, and that's the only time that I feel like people talk about them or set them. And I feel like the topic of goals can be different for everyone, maybe even a little bit controversial, because I've had conversations with teammates or people that are like, I love setting goals, like it's my favorite time of the year, or people are like, I hate setting goals, like I think it's stupid. It doesn't resonate with me, and I think it's just something people do and never follow through. So I think this is a great place to start. But Matt, what are your opinions on setting goals, whether they be physical, financial, spiritual, like all the above? What's your outlook on setting goals?
Yeah. It's a topic that has, for me, gone in different waves and different directions over the years, ever since really my master's degree. And so going through my master's, speaking of that, I had a mentor. She is brilliant, and she does wonderful work, especially in the field of sports psychology, but she hates goal setting. And having, you know, next to zero exposure to different opinions of goal setting prior to my master's degree, her saying this, I was like, whoa, should I be listening to this lady? Like, what's going on? I thought goal setting was like the way and the approach, and we all have to be doing it to achieve anything or any kind of happiness. And so she opened, you know, thanks to her, she opened my opinion, my beliefs, my direction on how I teach goal setting, on how I approach goal setting personally in my own life. Broadly speaking, and I think you can attest to this, let me know if you don't. For me, I think my opinion on goal setting is if you have things to strive for, that's the most important part. Now, the approach and the setting is up to you. But again, from a 30,000 foot viewpoint, I think it's important that we as human beings have things to strive for. Now, you can call that your calling. You can call that your purpose. You can call that your why, however you want to phrase it. Whatever resonates with you, I think is the most important part. And then, similarly, I think with my experience, I'm biased, obviously, educating yourself on what works and how you want to approach that striving is really, really the most important part for me. Do you agree with that? Disagree?
100%. I mean, I would say I'm similar to you in regards of like my relationship with goal setting has evolved. And I think when we're all younger and we first learn about goal setting, it's usually SMART goals, or it's like set a goal and set steps to get to that goal and to achieve that goal.
Right.
And sometimes I feel like we would make up goals just because we know that goals are important and we don't really like, we're like, okay,
totally.
I want to make varsity track because that sounds cool and everyone does it. So like, let's do that. Or we don't really have a real reason to set goals other than we know we've been taught that goals are really important. So these are the goals that we're going to set. So I feel like that's kind of how it started for me when I was younger. Like goals are important. So we sat down as a family, made goals for the year. It was always really fun, but then like life got in the way and like by the end of the year, forget about the goals. but like as I got older.
Or the half of the year.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And then as I got older and more competitive into sports, I feel like goals started becoming a little bit more realistic. Like, oh, hey, like I actually do want to achieve these things. Like, how do I achieve these things? Let's go after these things. And then I feel like as I got even older and learned more about myself, I feel like this goal setting process has like evolved, and especially like talking to you. I know we'll dive into open goals, but open goals, I feel like resonates more with me and like my personality and my approach on just life in general. And so I feel like I started this process of like having an open goal before I knew exactly what an open goal was, just because I knew how it made me feel. And I knew that like, I didn't want to tie my identity to a specific goal. And if I didn't achieve this specific goal, then like, therefore my identity was lesser than I think it can be or what I am capable of. And I feel like it can all get very intertwined. Doesn't mean that setting goals isn't important, but I think like you said, the process and the way you go about it is really important. So I think it'd be really important for us to dive into the differences between these processes. I know you sent an article to me to read, and I thought it was really good, which I'm sure we can link here for our listeners. But yeah, I think differentiating that is important.
So many good points and so much to unpack. Speaking to your experience, I mean, we just had an amazing conversation with your dad. Mm-hmm. PDD, baby.
PDD.
Passion, dedication,
determination.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
That for me, and I don't know the specificity of those conversations of how you were implementing those as a child or in the Hatch family.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, from a broad perspective, outsider looking into that conversation and how he approaches parenting and coaching, it's very open.
Yeah.
You have these kind of these pillars to strive for, but how Ashley approaches it, how Brianna approaches it, how
Braxton
approaches it, McKenna approaches it is going to be very different. With everyone.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for everyone else outside your family as well. You know, me included. And so going back to my experience in my master's degree, it was ironic because as a master's student for my second year, we were given a topic to present on. And I was gone for the day that the topics were assigned.
Oh gosh.
I think I was sick. I was not like sloughing.
Oh,
I wasn't ditching school. I really wasn't. And I come back and they're like, "Oh, Matt, you have goal setting." And I'm like, "Okay.
Whoopee.
I know. Yeah. I know one way, like the smart way to set goals. So I guess that's how I'm going to approach it."
Yeah.
But this, again, life-changing moment for me and my perspective of goal setting. I'm presenting and it was going really well. And I was throwing a bunch of hypotheticals at my classmates. And, okay, we need to be specific. And how are we going to measure this? And all of these things. And, you know, you always have a smart A student when you're doing role plays with in classes.
Yeah.
My classmate raises his hand and he goes, okay, so if I set this goal, what if I don't achieve it? And he was being a smart aleck.
Yeah.
But very good question.
Yeah.
In the moment, Ashley, I didn't know what to say. I just go, no, seriously, it was so awkward. I go, yeah, we're not going to go down that right now. We'll just pretend that you are going to accomplish these goals.
No.
Yeah. And of course my class and my teacher goes, okay, like that's not a wonderful way to set goals or how to answer that question.
Yeah.
And so it pushed me to learn more about goal setting and to not only learn more, but to really try to take in all the different approaches and depths and breadth of goal setting and dive into the literature. And so we've mentioned in the last 5 minutes, these terms, SMART goals and open goals. And I sent you this awesome article. It basically breaks down two approaches, but two broad approaches to goal setting. And so, as you know, listener, the SMART approach is ubiquitous. Most people know what it is. Most people know how to do it. A lot of companies, teams, musicians, families use this approach. Basically, specific, measurable, attainable, relatable, or relevant, whatever version you're using, and time bound. Okay. So when you set these goals, you're following this protocol. So if I want to lose 30 pounds, I have to be specific, 30 pounds. If I want to measure it, it's going to be on the scale. I got to get on the scale every single day. If I want to attain it, I have to map out how that attainability is going to come to fruition. Is it relevant or realistic or relatable? 30 pounds, that's kind of a lot. Maybe I go 10. Or if it's 30 pounds and I want to stick to that, the time would be a year from now or 6 months, which seems like a lot. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's what that approach looks like. However, it doesn't work for everybody. And I know you can speak to this. I've done this approach, again, up until I was about, I don't know, 25. It was the only approach I knew. Oftentimes, and more often than we want to admit, we don't accomplish our objectives or our goals that we set for ourselves. Mm-hmm. In fact, most gyms speaking to exercise, physical activity objectives and goals are done by February or March. So you're 2 months in and you're already over the loss of 5 pounds or getting your daily step count in every single day. It's like, no, that's too much. Even though you followed this 5-step protocol, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So I guess, how can you, as a professional athlete, relate to both? Because there is a lot of efficacy. There's a lot of effectiveness within setting specific, measurable, attainable, et cetera, goals. Mm-hmm. But there's also kind of this, I'm going to call it the dark side, even though that sounds dramatic. There's also the contrarian view of this. Yeah. And we'll get into what this open goals is here in just a minute. But for you, how has your relationship been, Ashley, as an athlete, mm-hmm. or maybe just as a human being?
Yeah.
In approaching goal setting the smart way.
The smart way. To be honest, yeah. I've never resonated with the smart way. Like I said earlier, I just did it because that's what I was taught, like in school or in, I don't know, with soccer and my teammates, or I don't know, mostly a classroom type setting. Mm-hmm. And like, it's felt kind of like a fad, and I just went through the SMART just because it just felt like I was doing a routine.
Checking a box.
Yeah. Like activity or assignment. And I also noticed it just didn't make me feel like excited. It kind of just like felt like work. And I was excited about the goal and like, okay, like how can I get these steps to fit in these letters? And it just like, it honestly has never resonated with me. And specifically mm-hmm. when it comes to soccer, I've realized that like every year I always have this, I'm sure I had this conversation with you too, but I've always had this conversation like with my dad or with Jeff. I'm like, okay, how many goals do you want to score? And I'm just like, ugh, mm-hmm. I hate this topic because I want to score as many goals as possible. That's like my goal. And I want to win games and like, I want to do all of these things, but like it feels like it's kind of like either putting me in a box or just like putting
it isolates.
Yeah. And I just like, I feel like if I'm only focusing on scoring goals, then like I play stiff and I'm only mm-hmm. worried about that. And if I don't score a goal in a game, I'm not enjoying it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't score a goal. I'm not going to get closer to my goal of scoring this many goals per season right. or per game or whatever.
Or you scored 4 goals in a game and you surpassed yeah. your objective.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm like, okay, I'm chilling. So like, I just didn't like the emotional roller coaster that it would put me on, especially for like a long season or like in college. So like, uh-huh. I would think about it. I'm like, okay, like I know that I play better and I play more freely. Of course I want to score goals. Like, I became a forward in high school because I just was naturally like good at scoring goals. It wasn't like someone was like, you need to score goals. This is what you're going to do. This is your calling in life. Go out there and score goals. I just like started playing and I was enjoying it and I was scoring goals. And I didn't really realize that there was like goal scoring records per year until my freshman year. My coach came up to me halfway through the year and he was like, you're really close to score. Guess like, what? Yeah, you're really close to breaking the record for freshman in goals. And I was just like, what? Like, I didn't even know we counted those things. Like, I didn't even know that was a thing. Right. So I never really liked that discussion of like, how many are you going to score? But everyone always asks that and everyone always wants that. And so I've kind of like struggled with that. Like, oh yeah, this is how many I want to score. Like, but in the back of my mind, I'm like, I just know like, I want to focus on playing my best, playing freely, working hard. And I know if I do that, these things will naturally fall in place and I will score goals. And I feel like I did a really good job of that throughout my college career, of just kind of like mm-hmm. blocking out the noise of like, these are the records, you need to go for them. Like, of course I'm going to go for them, but I'm going to go for them in a different way than other people might think that I'm going for them. I'm not going to make smart goals. I'm going to have more of this like open, holistic approach, because I know if I'm in the right mindset, if I'm in the right physical state and I'm doing all the right things, I will then be able to achieve those goals or surpass those goals, like you've said. So that's kind of been my experience with smart goals, is it never resonated with me. I never really enjoyed it, but I didn't really know an alternative. So I kind of felt like I was like doing something wrong until we had a conversation. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it really, like, I had a lot of aha moments of like, okay, there's another way to do this. And it doesn't mean, I also thought that like, if you don't want to do goals or smart goals, then like you're kind of soft. Like this perception of like, you don't think you can achieve these things. I was like, no, I do think I can achieve these things, but I don't think I'm going to achieve them with this method. So that's my rant. I love it. Yeah. With smart goals.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. Beautiful. And I share the same sentiment. I want to make it clear to the listeners that this has been our experience, and this is where our biases, I think, lie in terms of not really relating to the smart approach, because it has been very effective for a lot of people over the years. Here's the weird thing about smart goals that I think a lot of people don't know. This approach was first introduced in 1981 by a business management, like journal review editor, writer guy. His name was George Doran. And he put it in a business management review. And as a result, a lot of people, a lot of teams have adopted the approach. I think because it's really simple to integrate. And it can be a clear framework to set objectives, to have well-defined. And it's really easy for a company, like you said, Ashley, especially a company, to check those boxes of, yeah, we have goals. Look how specific we are. Look how we're going to measure it. Look how we're going to attain it. It's relatable. It's time-bound, all of these things. But inevitably, people aren't going to always relate to it. And inevitably, you're not always going to accomplish that specific goal. And so then, going back to my master's degree experience, what then? What if you don't accomplish it? Or what if you surpass it? What if you make $3 million more than what your specific goal was outlining? So again, Ashley and I have mentioned this term for the last 15 minutes, being open to the approach, and more specifically, setting open goals can be an efficacious way in how you can go about accomplishing whatever it is you're wanting to accomplish in whatever domain you're wanting to do that in, whether it's professional soccer or business or whatever. So this term, open goals, was first introduced, God, I forget the year. I believe it was 2010, but I could be off. Anyways, leading researcher is Christian Swan. For those that are interested, want to dive into their Nerdville with me. He's, I think, out of Australia, and specifically, I think he's within this department of psychology. Specifically, he studies goal setting. And similar to Ashley and I's experience and conversations over the years, it was, man, there's got to be a different way in how we can accomplish, you know, these desires, these purposes in our life. And this open approach, these open goals allowed for this. So basically, open goals are broad and flexible. They're exploratory. They're non-specific. And what I love most about them is they allow for creativity and exploration of your experience. So like SMART goals, they don't have this quote-unquote all or nothing mentality or approach. Because like SMART goals, this is where you're going and this is it. And you're concentrated on this end objective that's very specific, which again can be good, but oftentimes it can be really detrimental because you're missing the process. You're missing the day to day, which is the most important part of setting goals. Mm-hmm. And being more open allows for that fluidity to be present. And then as a result, you're more present because you're concentrating on the day, not the end objective. That's been a lot of my experience in accomplishing anything that I've wanted to accomplish. I tell people what I do, and oftentimes, you know, it comes up, oh, you have a PhD and you teach in academia, and they're like, oh, geez, you have a PhD. And I go, I promise I'm not the smartest person in the world. Oftentimes, I'm not even the smartest person in my household. My wife's way smarter than me. Yep,
great answer.
Yes. However, I just work really hard on a day-to-day, today-to-day basis on doing what I needed to do and need to do to be where I wanted to be. When I decided I wanted to pursue a PhD, Ashley, in my master's degree, you want to know what a mentor told me?
What?
I told her, and I'm not going to say the name because, not going to say it. I told her, hey, I think I want to get a PhD. This stuff's just really interesting to me. I love it. I want to learn as much as I can. Mm-hmm. And she goes, you know what? I don't really think you're PhD material.
Oh, geez.
And I'm like, oh,
what is
gosh.
PhD material?
Wow, that hurts. Yeah. Just a dagger to the heart.
Ouch.
And so for me, it was, okay, thanks, I guess. So I had to go home and reflect on what do I need to do on a day-to-day basis to put this belief in myself to accomplish the goal of getting into a PhD program, mm-hmm. and obtaining a PhD.
Yeah.
And so it was, I had to hire a tutor to help me with my math to mm-hmm. up my GRE score so I could get into a program. And it was little things of wanting to hopefully get into a PhD. But first it was this on a day-to-day basis, and then that, and then this, mm-hmm. and then that. And ultimately, yes, I got into a PhD program, but then now I'm in, how do I graduate? And now I have 3 years to actually accomplish this really hard work. And similarly, it was, I can't focus and place all this attention and effort on the end objective.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to miss the meat of the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
I know you've had that before or can relate to that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, you hear people say all the time, like, trust the process. And like, sometimes right. those, it just feels like flashy words, but it's like, no, really, like, what is your process? Totally. Trust that process. And a lot of the times I feel like SMART goals has this perception of like, okay, here's the direct line to your goal. It's going to go exactly like this because you've laid it all out. But it's like, as we all know, life is like this, which, if you're not watching, it's like all over the place. And then you get there and
zigzag.
Yeah. And you're not going to fully get the most out of that zigzag if you're not in the process and you're not accepting it all and taking it day by day, step by step. Appreciating the process, I feel like, is really important. Appreciating there's going to be these ups and downs.
Totally.
And there's going to be these lessons that you're going to learn that you didn't know you were going to learn, that you didn't know that you needed. And you're going to get so much more out of the experience than actually like achieving the goal. And I think if you speak to anyone who has achieved their goal, or if you listen to interviews of athletes who are on the podium, they're really happy that they got there. But a lot of the times they reference the process and all the hard work and all the trials they overcame, like
100%.
Over and 100%. Over, you see that. And it's because the process is really important. And if we skip that process, if we're not fully present for that process, then that goal isn't going to be as sweet. It's not going to be as special. And mm-hmm. sometimes that goal will change because life changes. Like, yes. You know, like there's a lot of things outside of our control that will influence what our goals are. And sometimes those goals won't matter because maybe someone in our family is really, really sick and we need to avert all of our attention to taking care of them. Or maybe we have to move, or maybe we get a different coach, or maybe we don't like the sport that we're playing anymore. So we're going to go a different direction.
Or you change positions.
Or you change positions and you're asked to do something different than you're used to doing and your goals were attached to that position or whatever it may be. Then what do you do? And I feel like that's a reason why a lot of people drop their goals after mm-hmm. first, second month of the year. It's like, this isn't mm-hmm. attainable to mm-hmm. my life right now anymore. And so I need to push this aside and focus on this. So it's like, how do you navigate this? How do you continue to make progress in your life and all the areas that you want to make progress if you don't have some sort of direction or something to focus on? And so that's why I love open goals, because I feel like it can apply to all areas of life. And I think this, I know I bring this up every single episode, but it's really, really important. But the self-awareness of how is this goal or how is this process like making me feel? And I feel like a lot of the times the article references it, but a lot of the times when we set SMART goals or we set goals just to set goals, we feel like we're doing things just to check off the list, right? And so I know for me, when I don't know, growing up, like I'd help my mom with like her goal of like going on a walk or doing some physical activity every day or whatever it was. Sometimes it felt like, okay, like we got to go on a walk. We got to go on a walk. We got to go do this because this is my goal, instead of like, oh, like I'm enjoying this walk and I want to do this. It's like, okay, I just got to check it off. And then like, once I check it off, I feel fine. But it's like, you're not really enjoying that walk. You're focusing all of your energy just to get on the walk. And then you have this like terrible relationship with whatever it is that you're doing. It's like, no wonder people want to keep doing it, because they don't have a great relationship with it. They're not really enjoying it, even if it's hard. And I think you can have a good relationship with hard things if you understand the process and you understand where you're trying to get to. And you understanding that your why, I guess. I feel like if you have those things, then it's like, okay, I can do this. This makes sense. But yeah, that's why I think open goals, with like recognizing the feelings that you have while you're trying to obtain those goals, is really important.
Yeah. And putting yourself in those type of situations and building upon that psychological and emotional orientation, you're not placing focus on where you should be.
Yeah.
You're placing focus on the starting point, and you're building on a day-to-day basis of a new starting point and a new starting point and a new starting point. Mm-hmm. And then when you look back after a week or a month or a year, you're going to go, holy bleep, look how far I've come.
Yeah.
And look how much I've grown and progressed. And if I would have isolated myself to one specific avenue, I guarantee you, you wouldn't have had those type of experiences. For me, of the many reasons why I'm similarly, Ashley, an open goal advocate, is it's very mindful.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a mindfulness practitioner in how I philosophically and theoretically approach sports psychology and life, really, in general. And, you know, being mindful is paying attention on purpose in the present moment, non-judgmentally. It's beautifully correlated in my mind to this open goal approach. You said something really, really important. Oftentimes when we do reach the objective, I think in the moment are proud, are happy, but then it's always like, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, could I have done more? Or something else? Reaching that apex oftentimes is anticlimactic.
Mm-hmm.
I remember this quote from Nick Saban, winningest college football coach of all time, the GOAT, as they say. His quote is, it's all about the chase, not the capture. And I think that illustrates it perfectly.
Yeah.
And he even said this after one of the many championships he won. He's holding this crystal ball that you get in college football after you win the championship. And his quote was, man, is this it? Like, they just won everything. And he had probably an undefeated season. And I know your husband's a huge Bama fan, but like, really? Like, is this it?
Yeah.
Like, it's all about what you're doing along the way. And then the icing on the cake, which is like this thin, the rest of the cake is like, should be 3 or 4 inches, right?
Yeah.
Is the championship, or is the number of goals that you're aspiring to do, but the chunk of it, the meat of it, is the process. Mm-hmm. And to be able to get the most out of that process, you have to remain open, pun intended, and allow for this creativity and this exploratory type of orientation to get the most out of whatever it is you're wanting to accomplish, because inevitably you're going to have life throw its hurdles and challenges, even if you are on the top of whatever professional league you might find yourself in and you're the very best of the best, you're still going to encounter hurdles and challenges, whether it's personally or professionally. So how can you remain open and creative to that and learn from it and continually grow and get better?
Yeah.
And it's, in my opinion, it's not by isolating yourself to one avenue and one specific avenue.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So powerful. I mean, I think, so as we're talking about SMART goals and open goals, and I feel like open goals can be really hard for people to grasp or understand, especially when we've all been exposed to SMART goals. There's like this certain type of like fluidity to it that can be hard to kind of like capture or like really completely understand or live out. Mm-hmm. And I feel like as we talk about it, and if I was a listener, I feel like, and I was listening for the first time, I'd be like, okay, I understand the concept. Like? Yeah. How do you do this? How do you implement this discipline into open goals to therefore then continue to improve as a person or achieve your goals? Because we understand that goals are important, right? You can't just be like, oh, I want to lose 30 pounds and I'm just going to take it day by day and see how it goes, see how I feel. If I want to run, I'll run. If I want to eat lettuce, I'll eat lettuce. You know, like, that's not exactly how it works. There still is this, like, there's still an element of like discipline and self-awareness and these really important tools that you need to be able to know how to use to be able to get from point A to point B. It may not be a straight line, but like you still want to move that direction. So Matt, how do we do this? How do you go about starting an open goal?
Yeah. Great question. And in a minute, I want to ask you what open goals have looked like specifically for you in your career. But here's an example, because this is a great point, is what does this actually look like? If we're going back to physical activity goals, let's say you do want to lose 15 pounds. You know, there are many things that one can do to achieve that type of goal, to be able to lose 15 pounds. And so if we were approaching it from an open orientation, it might look like this. Today, I want to see how many steps I can get on my step count. Let's say yesterday was 6,000. Let's just see how many I can do today. You're not even looking at your watch or your phone while you're doing the steps. Then maybe after you're done, it's 7,500, or maybe it's 5,500. And then the next day you can go, ooh, let's see how many more I can do the next day. And so it requires, I think, more monitoring throughout the process. But it, again, it puts you in the process way more than it would otherwise if you were just had one end objective. And then from a nutritional standpoint, let's see how many vegetables I can get with every meal today, or maybe just lunch and dinner. So you're remaining open, but the objective is still to eat healthy. And it's contributing to this overall approach of hopefully losing 15 pounds. Then after this monitoring on a daily basis, you're in the process, you're in the present moment, you're recognizing that, geez, your step count is going up. So maybe we do a little jogging today. So instead of just going on steps and we're going for a walk, let's see how far I can jog today. Then you're growing just a little bit more and you're having veggies with every meal. Ooh, okay. Now I'm drinking an X amount of ounces of water every single day. Let's see how much more I can do today. And so again, you're remaining open, but it's the constant monitoring. It's a continual pursuit of just being a little bit better every single day, even if it's 0.5% that much better. So that's just a small example of a physical activity goal on how you can approach this. Effort is a huge part of this. And if you listen to past episodes, you've heard this term growth mindset orientation. It's remaining open. It's remaining dynamic. And so for you, physical people, aficionados out there, a dynamic stretch versus a static stretch. Static is you're staying still. That's more fixed oriented. Dynamic is remaining open and more growth oriented. And it's really all about the effort. How much effort am I putting in today? Let's see how much better I can do today and the next day, et cetera. Does that make sense? So let me ask you, Ash, what does this look like for you in your career to be more open goal oriented, and how has it served you?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I could use this year as an example. I feel like this year is probably the first year that I was like very intentional about my open goals, and I wish I was more prepared and had my sheet of paper that you sent me that I filled out for my open goal. But as I looked at this year, there's a lot of changes, you know, new coach, new coaching staff, new style of play, new season, lots of newness
that you had no control over.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a huge point. Yep.
And like we talked about in the holistic athlete episode, this doesn't pertain to just soccer. Like, there's a lot of things in my life that are also new, or things that I want to learn, new things that I want to learn. Starting a podcast, I'm trying to sew. Like, there's a lot of new hobbies that I wanted to explore, but I also wanted to explore them and enjoy them, and not like do them just to do them because I want to say I know how to, I've learned how to sew. So as like I went through that sheet and kind of like talked to you, I know that you encouraged me to find like one word that can kind of encompass my open goals or encompass my approach to this year, to this season of life. And the word that like I landed on was grow. And that word really resonated with me as I went through the sheet and kind of looked back on the things that I have accomplished and the person that I am now and the person that I want to become and the person that I want to be. I feel like there's a lot of growth that needs to happen, but growth in all areas of life. And I feel like as I've approached this season, there has been a lot of growth, and it maybe hasn't looked exactly like I would have wanted it to, or how like maybe the outside would perceive it or would expect it. But as I approach each and every day of training, I'm able to reflect on like, did I grow today, or how can I grow today? And when I show up, I can grow by, for right now on the soccer field, I'm trying to focus on my first touch going forward and receiving the ball in space, checking my shoulder side on. And that may sound super specific, but I didn't make that at the beginning of this season because I didn't know what I was going to need right now. But this week going forward, or this part of the season going forward, in order to grow as a player and to continue to improve as a player in my position, this is what I need to grow, and this is what I need to improve. And I wouldn't have been able to set that at the beginning of the season because I didn't know the specifics of my life. I didn't know the details. I didn't know where I would be as a player. So that's where I am right now, focusing on that week by week. And as I continue, as I reflect on the times in training or in games when I did it well, I also reflect on the times where I didn't do it well and how I can do better next time. And it's usually I need to check my shoulder a few more times and then I'm able to turn. But once I'm able to develop that skill, then I'm going to move on to the next one. But I'm still moving in the right direction of continuing to grow as a person and a player, and that's the direction that I want to be going. But I'm fully embedded in the process and in the day to day. I'm not like looking forward and like, oh my gosh, how do I get there? That seems like so far away. I'm like, okay, every day at training, how can I get better? How can I grow? And on the flip side, even outside of soccer, I don't think I would have started this podcast if my word for the year wasn't grow, because as I kind of reflected, as you proposed, like, hey, we should do a podcast, we have a lot of really good discussions, my first initial reaction was like, that sounds way too hard. That sounds super vulnerable. I don't really like speaking publicly. Like, it just, I saw all these like red flags or these scary things. But as I actually sat with it and like digested it and reflected on it, I was like, you know what? My word for this year is grow. And this is a perfect opportunity for me to push myself out of my comfort zone and to grow. And if I didn't have that open goal, and if I had maybe a smart goal, I probably would have said no, because like, this could be a distraction from soccer. And if, and we've had that conversation before too, if it ever does become a distraction, then we would just stop. But if I had a smart goal, I would have just said, meh, no. But I was open to exploring it and open to like, can this fit within my goal of growing as a person and as a player? And it definitely has. And I feel like it's become a really fun educational outlet for me that like hasn't distracted from soccer at all, but I feel like has helped me with my soccer career. And I'm learning a lot of new things. I'm learning a lot of new skills. I'm developing a lot of new skills. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I've been approaching my open goals this year. And from an outsider looking into it, you may not be able to like understand it or see it. But like for me, I'm like, this is really, really helping me. And I even have my grow bracelet on today.
Oh, cool. I didn't
even have that. Sometimes I love it. Give myself a little bit of a reminder, because when we have, when I have these, when I have down moments where it's like, oh, like training was tough today, or I don't feel like I played as well as I could, I'm able to like look back on my word and I was like, well, I'm trying to grow this year, and you need to go through these hard times to grow. You need to be able to work through these hard times. You need to be able to implement these tools that you've been provided with, whether it's mental, the mental side of the game, or the physical aspect of the game. And you need to be able to use those tools and implement those tools. And you can't use and implement those tools if you don't have tough days or down times, because if everything's always easy breezy, then you're never going to learn. You're never going to grow. You're never going to have the opportunity to use these tools. And so I feel like it's a good reminder for me in the successful times, like, oh, wow, I grew today. Or it's like, wow, I'm growing today because this is hard. I feel like there's growth on both ends. So that's how I approached my open goals this year.
Amazing. There's so much creativity in there and so much exploratory orientation and growth, again, pun intended. I want to emphasize for everyone that it's not the way. You know, more precision when you're trying to do a very precise objective, and it is very specific, maybe a SMART type of approach would be the most effective. But in like Ashley's case, and in my experience, you know, the more awareness and acceptance and kind of mindful orientation that we've adopted to any kind of performance domain, you start to recognize that you have very little control over the situation, but you can highly influence it. Basically, it's preparation, effort, and your attitude. And it's really hard to be specific on a long-term basis with that in mind. Like you mentioned, if you would have set very specific goals at the start of the season, I'm assuming a lot of those would have taken a huge turn because there's been so much change and unexpected turns that are way outside of your control that have happened since the start of the season. And this goes for the start of a school season. This goes for the start of a relationship. This goes for the day, even. You just don't know as a human being what life is going to throw at you. Sometimes it's really horrible. Sometimes it's kind of horrible. Sometimes it's great. And sometimes it's really great. But you just don't know. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, it's really beneficial to be flexible to that. And, you know, me and you, we've talked about this term for years now. One of my favorite terms in sports psychology isn't mental toughness. It's mental flexibility. Because the idea of remaining flexible, being flexible, is so, so important. And I believe a more open approach to be able to attain that is the effective approach. Anyways, it's dependent on who the individual is, who the team is, and the actual objectives that you're wanting to accomplish. So keep that in mind, listener, that, you know, although our biases lie towards where we've just been talking about, there are many wonderful ways that can get you to where you want to go and allow you to accomplish whatever it is that you're wanting to accomplish. Anyways, goal setting.
Yes. ditto to all of that, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I think another way that I've been able to implement these open goal style approach is with my personal scripture study this year. My goal for the year isn't just to finish the Book of Mormon. That's what we're studying as a church this year. My goal this year is to study the Book of Mormon. And I feel like in the past, my goal was always to finish. And I would finish, but a lot of the times I would be reading like late at night or early in the morning, just like a certain amount of pages or for a certain amount of time. I would read either way too fast or way too slow. But my goal was just to finish. And so I would finish and I would check that off my list.
Get nothing out of it. Yeah.
And get absolutely nothing out of it. Except to say, I did it. I finished, right?
You finished. That's it. Yeah.
And this year, my goal is to study the Book of Mormon. And so my approach to it this year has been, I want to do it in the morning. I've never been a study in the morning person, but I want to try it this year and see how it goes.
It sets the day off really well, right?
Yeah.
When you can get this type of stuff done in the morning. Yeah,
it does. It really does. And I've noticed a difference and I've really enjoyed it. But I want to like not just read in the morning. I want to be able to study in the morning. And so I do that by having my Come Follow Me manual and the Book of Mormon side by side, reading scriptures, like reading chapters, but not just like reading it, but like going back and looking at the manual and reading cross-referencing scriptures and like actually like stopping, answering questions or thinking and pondering about what it is that I'm reading. And if I don't understand, reading it again, but I'm able to do it with like such a more free, like open approach instead of like, oh, I can't go off on these,
just
like
getting it done.
Yeah, I can't go off on these other like searches and reading other scriptures or cross-referencing with the Bible because it's gonna keep me from my timeline, my timetable of finishing. Yeah. And so I've been able to, and there's also some mornings where I had a late night or we had a late game and I want to sleep in an extra 30 minutes because I feel like my body needs it. And I know that if I wake up early and I try and study, I'm not going to actually be able to study. I'm just going to be reading. Then I don't do it. And I come home and I do it after training and I make sure that I do it. But I make sure that when I sit down to study, I'm actually able, I've allotted the right amount of time to be able to sit down and study. And so since my goal is study, I don't sit down and read unless I'm able to study. And some days that means I can't do it, and that's totally fine. But I've also noticed a difference on the days that I do it and the days that I don't. So I naturally want to do it because I feel the benefit of it in my life, and I feel the upbeat attitude that I have in the morning when I get up early and I'm able to study and kind of refocus my purpose and perspective to start the day. Mm-hmm. So that's just another example of an open goal that I feel like has worked really well for me this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then that word for you, study, looks different every single day.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, you're accomplishing your quote unquote goal to study, right?
Yeah.
And then as a result, you're also meeting this broader purpose of growth. You're growing spiritually as a result of your study.
Yeah.
Beautiful example in a different domain other than soccer or whatever it might be. I love it. I understand there are different opinions on this. I've met some people that are, you got to be specific. You got to write it on the mirror and you got to look at it every single day and you got to envision yourself accomplishing that. And I get that that might work for some people. I know some people like us are more open and more flexible and take a more mindful approach. Find your approach. Mm-hmm. Experiment with the domain, with the context, with the team, and find what works best, because there's going to be different ways in how you can accomplish something. And most importantly, and hopefully, find growth throughout the process so that you're finding and exploring every single day new ways to be more resilient, to be stronger, to hopefully accomplish whatever it is that you're wanting to accomplish. So,
yeah. Ditto.
That's all I got.
I think that's great.
Cool. Okay. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode, everybody. Let us know what questions or comments or opinions, even if you totally disagree with it. We would love to hear from you. Anyways.
Yes. Thanks. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.